Ladies and gentlemen, the sound you hear is a buzzsaw ripping through a painting of George Washington chopping down cherry trees. It's time for Professor Buzzkill, busting myths and taking names.
Yes, as the man says, it's time for Professor Buzzkill. It's time for me. It's time for me to bust myths and take names. One of the names we're going to talk about this week is Abraham Lincoln, undeniably one of the most important presidents in American history. And I'm here to tell you about one of the most touching and yet most mythologized stories about Lincoln and the Civil War. Specifically, we're going to examine the story of Lydia Bixby, the recipient of a very famous letter from President Lincoln, written during the height of that conflict. You probably know the text of the letter from a scene in the 1998 Steven Spielberg film Saving Private Ryan. The great actor, Harve Presnell, playing General George Marshall, was listening to a dispute between his staff officers about whether to pull Private Ryan out of combat because three of his brothers had already been killed in the war. General Marshall settled the argument by reading out a letter that Abraham Lincoln wrote to Mrs. Bixby in Boston in November 1864. And here's the way Harve Presnell reads it.
I have a letter here, written a long time ago to a Mrs. Bixby in Boston. So bear with me. Dear madam, I have been shown in the files of the War Department a statement of the Adjutant General of Massachusetts that you are the mother of five sons who have died gloriously on the field of battle. I feel how weak and fruitless must be any words of mine that would attempt to beguile you from the grief of a loss so overwhelming. But I cannot refrain from tendering to you the consolation that may be found in the thanks of the Republic they died to save. I pray that our Heavenly Father may assuage the anguish of your bereavement and leave you only the cherished memory of the loved and lost. The solemn pride that must be yours to have laid so costly a sacrifice upon the altar of freedom. Yours very sincerely and respectfully, Abraham Lincoln.
It's a touching scene and very well acted. But what you may not know is that Mrs. Bixby's five sons did not all die on the battlefield. In fact, two of them are known to have survived the war, and the fate of one of the others remains a mystery. Now, Buzzkillers, you know that I don't in any way wish to minimize the heroism and sacrifice of Mrs. Bixby's sons, and of course I don't wish to minimize her grief and shock at their deaths in this myth-busting episode. But the simple fact is that Lydia Bixby's loss was not as complete as Lincoln's letter suggests. Here's what we know. On September 24th, 1864, William Schuyler, the Adjutant General of Massachusetts, wrote to Massachusetts Governor John Albion Andrew that Mrs. Bixby had visited him and said that all five of her sons had died defending the Union. Andrew reported the story to the War Department in Washington, D.C., and asked that the government send a letter of condolence to Mrs. Bixby about the tragedy of losing her four sons. Eventually, Secretary of War Edward Stanton called Lincoln's attention to the case, and Lincoln penned the now famous letter. Scholars disagree about whether Lincoln himself wrote the letter or whether it was drafted by his private secretary, John Hay. That's not our concern here. The letter came from Lincoln as president, and he sincerely believed that Mrs. Bixby had lost all five of her sons on the battlefield. That much is true. But Lincoln was misinformed, and we'll get back to what happened about her sons after a word from our sponsor. You know, Buzzkillers, we're so pleased that this podcast and the Buzzkill Institute is sponsored by Harry's Razors. And President Lincoln was very pleased about Harry's Razors, and I'll get to that in a minute. Why do I use Harry's Razors, and I've been using them for over a year? It's because I got sick to death of the Fort Knox prices I had to pay for new blades at the drugstore. Big rip-off razor companies have always made a small change in their blades, come out with a small change in their handles, and called it the newest version, and raised their already high prices. Harry's is different. Harry's doesn't believe in upcharging, which is what that's called, apparently. They've made their razors better and better, and their prices have remained the same. Not only does Harry's charge a fraction of what the ripoff razors companies charge, The good folks at Harry's, all the buzz killers there, they'll mail the razors right to you on a regular schedule that you set up with your membership. Harry's five-blade razors have a softer flex end for more comfortable glide, a trimmer blade for the hard-to-reach places, and believe me, I use that all the time. Lincoln uses it all the time. A lubricating strip and a textured handle for more control when it's wet. Their prices are still just $2 a blade compared to the $4 one you'll pay at the drugstore. How do they do this? They do it by owning the factory in Germany where they make the blades. Harry's can produce high-quality razors themselves and sell them online for half the price of the rip-off razor companies. Harry's has a special offer for you buzzkillers out there. They'll send you their popular trial set for free when you go to harrys.com. The free trial set comes with a razor, a five-blade cartridge, and shaving gel. You just pay $3 for shipping. Plus, just for my listeners, enter the code BUZZKILL at checkout, and you'll get their post-shave balm for free with your order. The post-shave balm is great. You'll look better. Your face will feel better all day after you use it. And here's some of those historical facts for you. Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president, went to harrys.com. He used the code BUZZKILL at checkout. He kept his beard in trim, his upper lip nicely shaved in that 19th century way, and he won the Civil War. Coincidence? I don't think so. If that's not cause and effect between shaving and military victories, I don't know what is. So do what Lincoln did. Go to harrys.com and enter the code BUZZKILL at checkout. You'll get a great razor, you get great blades, great shave cream, and of course the post-shave balm is free. Do it now, buzzkillers. Your subscription plan is customizable in terms of shipping frequency, and you can cancel at any time. But I know that you'll love the fact that you'll be enjoying a whole new world of better and more affordable shaves. You'll look better, your face will thank you, and your bank account will be a lot healthier. Again, go to harrys.com, enter the code BUZZKILL at checkout. Now, back to Lincoln and Mrs. Bixby's sons. Military records are clear about the fact that two of the Bixby sons were killed in the war. Sergeant Charles Bixby was killed in action in Fredericksburg, Virginia, in 1863. And Private Oliver Bixby had not only been wounded near Spotsylvania, Virginia, in May 1864, but was killed at the Battle of Petersburg, also in Virginia, in July 1864. Her son George was a prisoner in two Confederate prisoner of war camps, but there's confusion about what happened to him. One military report says that he died in one of those prisoner of war camps. Another says that he deserted to the Confederate Army. Now, here is where it gets less clear and more complicated for the romantic story about Mrs. Bixby's five sons. Corporal Henry Bixby was captured at the Battle of Gettysburg in 1863 and sent to a POW camp in Richmond, Virginia. He was released the next year, and he returned to Massachusetts, where he eventually died in 1871. The youngest son, Private Arthur Bixby, returned to Boston after the war, but we don't know what happened to him after that. So at least two of the children, at least two of her sons, survive the war, maybe three. But we also don't know more stuff about this story. We don't know how this misinformation about the five sons being killed bubbled up from Massachusetts to the White House. There's not much evidence to point us in one direction or another. Schuyler, the Massachusetts adjutant general, may have written his report carelessly, but that's unlikely. Mrs. Bixby may have even been misinformed herself. The most negative spin that historians have put on the story is that Mrs. Bixby was trying to wheedle some sort of large or larger financial compensation out of the state of Massachusetts in their coffers, and she might have exaggerated, right, the extent of her loss. And there are indeed some accounts that paint her as a Confederate sympathizer, but I hasten to emphasize that there is no way of knowing for sure whether any of that's true. Lots of speculation here, buzzkillers. And you know how much I hate to do that because it can help boost the chance that these stories become mistaken for historical facts. What's not in doubt is that Lincoln's letter to Mrs. Bixby didn't remain private for very long. Within 3 days, by November 24th, news reports and reprints of that letter appeared in Boston newspapers. And there's some indication that it provided a much-needed boost in Union morale as the war was entering its fourth year. The letter and the Bixby story was also referred to in similar tragedies in World War II, and especially in the U.S. military's decision to implement regulations and practices designed to prevent multiple sibling deaths during wartime. These tragedies included the five Sullivan brothers from Iowa who all served on the USS Juno and who all died on the same day when it was sunk in November 1942 near the Solomon Islands in the Pacific. Four Bergstrom brothers from Utah died within the same six-month period in 1944 during the same war. Because of these tragedies, the U.S. military implemented regulations that prevented siblings from serving together in the same unit or on the same ship. But as you might imagine, buzzkillers, it's obvious these tragedies were not limited to American military men, and the grief about their deaths were not limited to American parents. For instance, the von Blücher brothers, German paratroopers, were all killed on the same day in May 1941 during the Battle of Crete. Now, however heartfelt, kind, and comforting the letters that military national leaders sent to those grieving families, it's highly unlikely that any of them came close to matching the dignity, directness, and decorum of the sentiments Lincoln expressed to Mrs. Bixby. And when it comes to determining which words go down in history, that makes all the difference. Talk to you next week.